Have you got a minute?
Sir?
Have you got a minute or two?
Oh, yes.
That's a jug of wine. Have a jug of wine.
For me?
Yeah.
You poured it out there for me?
I did water. Yes. Just good water.
Just good water?
I keep, now this is breakfast coffee.
Yes.
I had a little bit left over.
Yes.
And I just leave it in every now and then. I take a sip, and that's all I drink.
I see.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Well, Hodge, where do you get this water from?
Over there at Robert Smith.
Robert Smith, what?
Over at the candy shop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, Mr. Patterson got fine water, too.
You think so, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe he told me that last well he drilled there at his house.
Just good water.
Mine's got too much lime in it.
Yeah. This water is healthy, but it's, I don't know, I've never liked the taste of this water.
I see.
But other people like it.
Yes.
So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Now, that is soft water, it's not hard water, is it?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I drink water and it sort of turns my stomach. It, you know, it makes it feel sort of acid.
I understand.
But this doesn't.
Understand.
I drink a lot of water.
You do?
Do you?
I drink a good deal, and when I don't get to working, you know, I forget about it.
Yeah.
I get to working. You know, in South Carolina, we farm and we wouldn't have water handy and didn't have sense enough to carry a jug of water to the field with us. we would have a creek, you know. Creek run through the place and maybe we'd be pretty close to the creek. We'd have to go to the creek and get some warm water.
Yeah.
I had to creek in the summertime.
But you had this good water in the creek then. That water was good, wasn't it?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought then it was pretty good. I don't know. You know how healthy it was.
You know, these jars, there's so many of them now, you know. I use them. That's what I use. I don't ever hardly use a glass.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
And they won't turn over?
No, that's right.
And they hold right smart?
All right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, that's all right.
I take those out to people to drink in, you know, and I notice they look at them sort of curious. And then if you just lay them around.
That's right.
Throw them away. You got too many anyhow, haven't you?
That's right. What do you mean buying glasses?
No.
No, no.
And see, I use this old coffee jar. That's what I drink water out of. See, I fill it up, and leave it in there on my, where I work there, in the desk.
To be sure.
And just drink a little every now and then.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You been out all afternoon?
No, sir, not all afternoon, but I was out this morning.
Oh, were you?
I was out this morning. I went in and didn't have any dinner done. I had to wait there till it got done already, and that was late. And so after I got done, I come on out.
Yeah.
As I hadn't been down on this end in a good while. And I heard that Karen and Anna both was in from the hospital, so I thought I'd come down and see how they're doing.
Yeah. Well, now you get to talk to a lot of people that way, don't you?
That's right. Oh, yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure, you know, and of course, anyhow, some of them is very insulting. You know?
Oh, are they?
We don't pay attention to that at all.
You do run into it. Some of them are a little sharp.
Oh yeah. I don't want to know that stuff. I go talk food.
Yeah. Well, what do you do when they talk like that?
Maybe you don't, but we'd like to talk with you and see maybe you would come to like to use it, some of it.
Mm-hmm.
It might, you see, because maybe we could encourage you to use some of it.
Mm-hmm. what was you before you,
Jehovah's Witness?
Yes.
African Methodist. How long did you, were Monroe and them out here?
Yes.
Yes, sir. And me and Walkwater were stewards in that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I declare.
How's that?
And they still down there?
Oh, yeah, they're still there. That's right. Well, they're up in high class masons and
yeah.
So they, I really can't hardly give that up. Well, you know, Mr. Miles, a lot of people really know this is really the truth, but you see, the people will. Things, you know, they say, you said about me, you know, they know what they said about me. So I thought, man, you did have some sense.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, now, of course, they mean good, plenty of people mean good, but listen, now what I come to see about it, you see, now the difference in it.
Yeah.
You see, now, the church, the African Methodist, well, all the Protestant churches, they teach immortality of the soul. You have a soul that don't die.
Yeah.
The Bible don't teach that. It teach contrary to that.
It don't teach that?
No, it don't teach. What is a soul?
I don't know.
You don't know. You is a soul. God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man came to be a living soul.
Yes.
So man, or any living creature, is a living soul. Dog, cat, anything, is a soul. The Bible speaks of them as souls. Yes, you see. So man is a soul. So when man dies, a soul is dead.
Oh.
That's right.
So the soul dies.
Yeah, but to be sure it does. Well, when, yes. Of course, if he die in God's memory, then he have a chance of a resurrection to life again.
Oh.
You see. But now if you don't die in God's memory, he returned to the dust, just like God told Adam, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. See, Adam and Eve will not get a resurrection. See, they just willfully sinned. God told them, the day you eat of that fruit, you'll surely die. And you see, and they were perfect. You see, they know, Adam know, so there's no resurrection for them at all. They turn to the dust. That is all. There's no torment, no punishment for a person to die wicked. They just turn back to the dust.
Yes.
Go back to the dust as though they had never been.
Yes.
But a person that the righteous and the unrighteous one. An unrighteous person is a person that had got a good heart. He's not wicked, but he do vile things, evil things.
Yes.
He'll get a resurrection and given a chance. See, given a chance. Now, most of the Protestant ministers, they will say that, that is the clergy, they will say that when a person dies, says his work is done. No, it isn't done. It isn't done. No, it's not done. He will be raised from the dead, an unrighteous person, raised from the dead and given a chance to gain life in the new order. Yeah. So.
Well, now that's a different view of it, isn't it?
To be sure.
Yeah.
And that is the right view, you see. You know, in the Protestant churches, where the clergy will preach to you to you must be born again and go to heaven.
Yeah.
Like everybody is going to be born again and go to heaven.
Yeah.
No, the people will get life here on this earth. They don't have to be born again. Let me see. Was that the rich young ruler who was? He asked Jesus Christ, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" I think that's what it said. He said, "Keep the commandments."
Yeah.
He told me, "Keep the commandments." He said, "I've kept them from my youth." He said, I've kept them from my youth.
Uh-huh.
I think he asked him, what commandment? And he told him, shouldn't kill us. He told him what commandments, the Ten Commandments. So he said, "I've kept them from my youth."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, if you would, if you want life, sell all that you've got and give to the poor and come be my follower."
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so they preached that the clergy, they preached that everybody that gets life, going to get eternal life, must go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Go to heaven. They preach heaven. Preach heaven. They tell the people, I didn't know nothing about people going to live here on the earth.
Yeah.
But the majority of men of the earth was made for man.
Yeah.
And the majority of people will be here on the earth. Just a little flock that will go to heaven to reign with Jesus Christ. That is just 144,000. And they are called the Christ body. His body, his bride class, of the anointed ones. They are sons, spiritual sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now and the earthly class of people, which I am among, they are the other sheep. He said that I have other sheep that is not of this fold.
Mm-hmm.
See, I bring and they'll also become one flock and one shepherd. So.
Let me check that. Let me see. Well, Uncle Gil, when you talk, when you tell people things like that, they're not used to that.
No. 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 Oh, it is right with the Bible, you see, without, it's follow the Bible. We preach the Bible just like it is down there.
Now, when you tell people things like this, that's when they tell you to go on home?
No, more or less, they'll tell you that when you come to the door.
Yeah.
Before you get to talk at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, but when you tell them something they're not used to hearing, huh, they don't take to that, do they?
Well, just some, you know, just some is that way.
Yeah.
But person that's got any understanding much, more the person that has got good reasons and understanding.
Oh yeah.
They will. They know the truth when they hear it.
And they'll listen to you.
They'll listen to you. That's right. But
now they may not adopt your view.
To be sure.
But they'll listen to you.
To be sure. That's right. That's right. They say, yeah, that's true. I mean, my boys, they say, anybody know that's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, it's the truth. But
well, now, you see, they can't leave this Methodist church down here because they kind of hold that, keep that going, don't they?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Yes, they planning working out build a new church there.
Yeah,
build a new church down, and you know that looks foolish to me. You know, it'll be big.
Yeah.
Yes. Now I have a sister. She's the one that, and Miss Patterson too. And it began to get me to see the truth.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope, and she said, my sister is in South Carolina. See, that's where we are from. And she was in the witness, she was a witness way long before me. Mm-hmm. So, but I would always listen to her talk, and then and she says, all of them call me Bub. Bub Gill, white and colored, most up there in Fairfield, South Carolina, call me Bub Gill.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, you was brought up there.
Oh, yes. I was 44 years old when I came to Florida.
Well, gee whiz. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, when did you come?
When?
Yeah.
In 25. I've been here 44 years or more.
Yeah.
And see, I'm 88 now.
Well, I'll declare.
I'll soon be 89. 10th of March coming, I'll be 89.
Well, now that's when Miss Daisy come. Miss Daisy.
From South Carolina?
No.
Georgia.
She come in 24, 23 or 24.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess I know I've heard her say, but I've forgotten.
Miss Dora?
That's right. That's right.
You all came about the same time, didn't you?
That's right. Somewhere close about in there. That's right.
So they all knew you up there, didn't they?
No, they came from Georgia.
Yeah.
I came from South Carolina.
I mean, up there where they called you, had a nickname for you.
In South Carolina.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Well, how did you come to leave up there?
Yeah. Well, I just come down to steal. I was logging a sawmill that year for a man that run a sawmill. I was cutting the logs and putting them to the mill for him. And I was farming too. My boys was working the farm and one step another. And I wasn't doing too much farming, but so we cleaned up a mill seat. I cleared that mill seat up and we were fixing to move to another mill site, and I didn't like the timber. It's too scattered, and I didn't care to log that. And I didn't, the boom was on then, but the boom went down just about the time I got on here. It was on its way down when I got here. So I said, I'll go down to Florida. In fact, a man came, he was from up there, and he'd been down here, and he came and talked with me and another boy that had a little Ford truck, the T-Mauler Ford truck, and talked with us, and this other boy, he said he was coming down. I said, I believe I'll go down too. I believe well. He encouraged us to come down, and there was a subdivision work down there, go a lot of it. And so we came down. I said, I believe I'll go down there and work a few months and come on back. It was time enough to start my crop in the spring. So I've been back to working.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I got down here and, you know, I'm doing pretty good in South Carolina, but I got down here and in a while, you know, I'm getting in worse shape than a so I just decided I wouldn't go back. I just stayed right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
And then you had them cities ahead of you.
I did.
In the cities. You had that ahead of you.
It's the 30s.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, how'd you make it during the 30s, Uncle Gil?
You mean the 1930s?
Yes.
Well, let me see. I reckon I did pretty good.
Did you?
Pretty good. Did pretty good.
Well, what, was you farming down here?
Down here farming, that's right. That's right. Mostly till the boys, the children all got out where I couldn't do much farming. You know, I'd been used to doing big farming up in cotton and corn and stuff, you know, and I'd want to do that big farming down there. It's vegetable.
Yeah.
And I did do right smart of it, too.
Yeah.
I worked that pond over there just below me. There's a place of Richardson's pasture now.
Yeah.
We worked that farm there. Mr. Lon Smith, Ms. Agnes Smith's husband, he works out there. But we didn't make the crop that we should make because he didn't have the money and they didn't get no fertilizer. We just spent on the ground making it. It didn't make a lot of, but the cabbage wouldn't be like cabbage where it had fertilizer to it. Wouldn't be a large cabbage, small. But they tell me that's the kind they want now, that's a small cabbage. And then I've worked a good many years with Mr. Rob Wood.
Uh-huh.
And then, worked this place.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir. I know all about this place. Oh, yes, we worked out. Miss Boy. We was right out there. What are you talking about? Your cow didn't care about that coal. You got this. We're hoeing peanuts. Mr. Boy, he said, I ain't never seen a boy hoe peanuts no more than one time. I tell him, we can hold him more than one time.
Yeah.
He was hoeing, and Miss Boy was hoeing too, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, I was their boss.
Yeah. They were working for you.
Yeah. Mr. Boy, he wasn't wanting to hold him. We done hold him once.
Yeah.
And there's some weeds and stuff in him, so I.
Why, Faye? We're waiting on you. Come on in here in this business minute before I take off and get home. I didn't know they ever put peanuts on this place.
Yes, more than 1 year.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine, how are you, Ms. Meyer?
Fine, thank you.
Goodness.
Yes, sir. We stack peanuts here and fresh peanuts here. And all the peanuts here. All down, I don't know how far we done. Yeah, all back over there.
Holy chap. Gail did put peanuts on this plate.
Don't tell me.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. With Mr. Boyle. I didn't know they ever had peanuts. Over.
Yes.
Oh, no, I didn't either.
Yes. Now, was that in the 30s?
Me see, Mr. Boyle, see.
No. They didn't come till after that.
After the 30s?
Yeah.
I guess you were right.
Yeah. That long late, wasn't it?
I guess that, yeah, oh yeah, that was all up. That was all up. I'm trying to think of. I can't hardly figure back.
They come a little before 1940.
Did?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Almost the war time when they come and
that's
when they
right.
bought this place.
That's right. I remember when they first came here, but now, what year? I'd get away from it.
Now, Ms. Boyle, was she a pretty good worker?
She pretty good. You mean to do work herself and
yes.
farm? But she pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Well, I'm. I didn't know Mr. Boyle's ever farmed much. I thought he was out on this...
He was, but then the time that he... Let me see, he mostly be out, his, but sometime he wouldn't be busy in that next school week.
He'd help a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, when I was working in peanuts, you know, why he used to have that hole and helping me with holding peanuts.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't like a hole.
No, Mr. Boyle didn't like it either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I brought up for the hole.
You was, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of work to peanuts?
Not a great deal. And many people, they don't hoe them at all. You don't have to hoe them to make peanuts, but I don't like that glass in them.
Yeah.
It'll make peanuts without the hoeing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm so... midwife, you know, Liza's husband, he grown, you know, but glass didn't make peanuts, too.
Oh, he grew peanuts. That's Mitt Washington grew peanuts.
Not too many, you know, just planted a patch for himself.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember him. I don't think he ever raised any for market.
I see.
But I raised them for market over there on Bessie Jackson Place, all that I had all place and peanuts.
And then on this place?
Then on this place, but now, I don't know, I don't think I had it at the same year.
I see.
But I have peanuts all over that place over there.
Did you, what kind of livestock did you have, Uncle Gil?
I had mules.
Yeah.
You mean the
yeah.
cultivators, eh?
Yeah.
Mules.
Hadn't
got into the tractor business.
Yeah, that's just before, a little before the tractor
stuff. That's right.
Well, did you have some pretty good mules?
Pretty good mules, yes, sir. Pretty good mule. I'm trying to think, did Miss Boyle and them have it? I think I furnished my own mule.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I was.
Well, now what? Tell me about your mules, Uncle Gil. What sort of mules did you have? Small ones?
Well, I did have. I went back to South Carolina and got one. That's pretty large mule. Pretty, you know. I say for farm. Pretty large mule, larger than necessary to have, particularly necessary to have for a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But, and then I had some of the small size, but if I buy one, I'd buy a smaller size mule.
Mm-hmm. Well, Well, now, I kind of forget. I used to work mules, too. How did you feed them? Did you, corn?
Corn. That's right. Corn and hay.
Yeah.
That's right.
Did you raise it?
Raise the corn? Mostly, yes. I tried to raise corn for them.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And the hay?
That's right. That's right. Adam, let me see what I'm doing, Mom. I am on a mowing machine in Florida, I don't believe. But I left mine a brand new one in South Carolina.
Oh.
And you know, another thing about it, we didn't bring anything, just left the house like it was. We were planning to go back. Didn't bring, and let me know how many mules I left there. You know, I had brothers there, you know what become of them. They took them in voice.
Yeah.
Let me see. I believe I left 3 mules there. 3 mules, Hall, Maggie's uncle, my wife's uncle. He killed a hog and ate it up. And I left a barrel of syrup. I just made up. I didn't sit there to get to eat any of it myself. I got it cooked up there and had a full barrel of syrup there.
Damn. You could have used that down here, couldn't you?
Sure could have. Yeah, and lumber, I had a sawmill there.
Yeah.
I did run a sawmill a while, my mill, but I sold that out way back in World War One. We quit fooling with the mill and went to, it was Camp Jackson at that time. We all built Camp Jackson.
Yeah.
Up there in Columbia.
Yeah.
And then there was a man coming ward and I sold out there. But this, I had a, I'm trying to think now, no, this was a white friend of mine that had a mill. I forgot what kind of terms I got that mill there on it. But we ran the mill, it was his mill though. And we sawed up a lot of lumber there on the place that I left from there, that I left to come to Florida.
Well, now there's plenty of lumber down here.
That's right. That's right.
But you didn't have a mill.
No, that's right. That's right. No, I didn't have a mill.
Yeah.
That's right. And pretty hard working in that mill business.
How do you like to work mules, huh?
I like it all right. I like it.
Well, they are hard. They're stubborn. They're hard headed. So much of the time. What do you do when they give you trouble?
I give them that line.
Is that right?
Yeah, I hit him with that line.
You just take one of them lines and hit it with it.
Once back, now when I first started plowing, we would only plow a mule with 2 lines till we got him broke. Then we plowed 1 line. Finally, it got to the place where it don't matter how good he got broke, he'd plow with 2 lines anyhow. So, you see, you just take that line, you plow it with and flip it that way.
Yeah, just snap it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now,
is that a cotton line?
Oh, yes, cotton line.
And that'll sting him a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that'd make him get all the way from me.
Wouldn't hurt him, just.
Yeah, it would hurt him, too.
He could feel it.
Oh, yes. He'll learn how to hit him with that line. It'd hurt him, too.
Yeah.
He'd get away from me.
And you could talk to him.
That's right. That's right.
You could pick them up without talking to them, couldn't you?
I didn't do much of that talking.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess I should have did more of that. That would have been the best, but I meant go on then.
You
know, to hear me that
a,
line.
Did you ever have a mule that you couldn't control?
We had one now when I was with my father. He got an old mule then, and he was kicked. You know, he was a good mule, and he had good hair, and he's a fine-looking mule. But he'd go a while, then he just started kicking. Just both heels. Until he kicked you, get your plaster loose from him. From you, and you're just running and kicking.
Yeah. Is that right?
And, I mean, what did become of that old mule? I've forgotten now what become of it. But you couldn't do nothing with him. But we worked him there a good while, working with all that kicking, and just tried every kind of thing to stop him from kicking.
Yeah.
He'd tie a string around his ear.
Oh, tie a string around his ear.
I don't know whether that did any good or not, but
yeah.
We'd try that, you know. And everything that people would tell us that would stop them.
Yeah,
nothing stopped them from kicking.
Yeah. Tight, pretty tight.
How's that?
Tight?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember now. Pretty tight, I think. You wanted it around that way you could feel it.
Uh-huh.
Again, you didn't have many doctors. You didn't go to the doctor much in them days.
That's right.
Well, now, what did you do if you hurt yourself?
Well, you'd have to go to the doctor and get the doctor to come to you with you on if you were able to go while you go to
him. Well, like you cut your hand and, you know, things like that.
Oh, well, now my mother was a pretty good doctor herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she'd fix up something, put on that hand.
Yeah.
Like, get well. It'd have to be pretty bad for the,
yeah.
Have to go to the doctor.
Yeah. Well, was you ever any good at doctoring yourself?
Not too much.
Like, you didn't learn much from your mama?
No, didn't learn much from her. I don't think she'd use different kind of herbs, you know.
Yeah.
Different
now you take Miss Bessie and all them down there. They are good at doctrine.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I know, yeah, Bessie can advise pretty good on doctrine.
And Miss Patterson's
That's
one
right.
of the best, isn't she?
That's right. Yeah.
If I had anything wrong with me and couldn't get to the doctor, I'd go there and see her.
That's right.
I sure would.
You know, Mr. Miles, we got one of my daughters lives in down at West Palm Beach, and she kind of keeps in touch with these health store people. And they have a book there that it's Back to Eden, and that is a good book. It'll advise you something to use for any complaint that you might have.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes.
It is really good.
Well, now, do you have the book or you?
I have the book.
Oh, you have the book.
I have the book. Yeah, she just. Just send, give us a book, and then she sends a lot of that different kind of herb medicine here for us.
Mm-hmm.
And just anything she thinks that we need, she sends it.
Well, now that's nice, Uncle Gil. Now you see, Faye, that's the trouble. You see, if you get a chance to talk a little bit every now and then, you pick up some much.
Sure you do. Yeah.
I had heard of some of that Hell's, those Hell stores?
That's right.
Well, I've never been in one.
No.
Never been associated with anybody that knew anything about it.
That's right. Did, somebody tell me that they have one in Gainesville now.
I didn't know it.
I don't know it either, but I think it's one of our brothers of our congregation. He lives in Gainesville, and my wife said, his wife said there's one there.
You quit farming though.
After the children got grown and got out.
And you didn't have any help.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, when did you start all that carpentering and all?
I started that before I left South Carolina. I tell you, we had a minister there, our pastor. Let me see now.
I think he come back.
No, you can. He can hear you. He just gone in for some coffee.
I see. You see, he officiated in marrying me and my wife.
Oh.
Our pastor.
Uh-huh.
And then I started a local preacher in the AME church. He got to be presiding elder. He gave me a license to preach.
Is that right?
Let me see now. What else did he do? The same man, I.J. Pruitt was his name. Oh, yeah. He learned me how to conquer. He built the house. I started building it before I married. Building the house.
Yeah.
I had my new completer, only I hadn't finished it on the inside. And that house would have been standing there good. I had drawn shingles. You used to rive them and draw shingles. You know anything about that?
Yes.
But I had drawn shingles on a couple of drawn shingles. You see, nothing but the heart of the pine. And that first place that I lived on, where I have a house on, I don't see why my father to do that, but he let me and my brother next to me, he bought the place in, and we bought it from him. He let us have that place, and that was the best land. He was on a little place down there, wouldn't make stuff so good, you know. It was kind of a pole, washer place. And so that best land to us. And 1 year there, I made 21 bales of cotton with one mule.
Man alive.
And you see, and I plowed and working myself. Me and my wife pretty well worked that crop.
But you couldn't pick all that cotton?
No, I couldn't. But we picked a lot of it. Oh, yeah. Now, my brother that was in the place, he had one side and I had one. He and his wife, you see, we'd pick together one day and then go in here and pick like that. We picked a lot of it.
Yeah.
I never was a real cotton picker, but I had to learn to pick.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get on up in them 300 and 400, but I picked 250.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, it gets you, them cotton.
Oh, you know about it,
man. Right in here, don't they?
That's right.
You know, if I'd had some of that tape like we have now, of course they had it, but I didn't have any.
I see.
And, you know, just put a little around that fingers like that.
That's right.
Could have got a lot more cotton.
I expect so.
You couldn't pick cotton with your gloves on.
No, you couldn't. No.
So you didn't have no protection, did you?
That's right. Yes. That's right. Yes, that is.
Well, when you come down here, then you already knew how to carpenter.
Oh, yes. I just got into the farming and did that, but I just went on back to Carpenter.
Well, now, they would, all these people around here wouldn't let you farm. They wanted you, they'd come get you and make you fix a house for them, put on a roof.
That's right. That's right, but yeah, when I was farming, you see, I had a crowd, and I thought I had to be there with them, you know, to get it done like I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, couldn't many people satisfy me in plowing.
Yeah.
I wanted it done right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A brother that is younger than me. And, you know, when my father died, you see, they would all listen to me, too.
Yeah.
And even them girls and boys, too. The oldest one was a boy. I was the fifth child.
Yeah.
And so they would listen to me.
Yeah.
And my father, before he died, he told them, told them children, they said, y'all listen, y'all do what Bob said.
Yeah,
so they listened to me pretty good.
Well, now, what I was thinking about, Uncle Gil, when I come down here, people were still dependent on you to help them out. Now, you see, like Miss Bessie.
That's right.
Anything go wrong with that fireplace, she says she'd get Mr. Gil.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, I think she said something about that horse singing now.
Oh, really?
I think she told me.
Well, what was wrong with that horse?
It the way it was fixed up under there, it's that sand seeps out. You see, it filled in there with sand and stuff, and it seeps out through them cracks, and that's why it caused it to sink.
Yes. Well, yeah. What can you do?
You just have to try to stop them. Cracks, you put in some more dirt.
Oh.
Fill it up again. That's about all.
Well, what holds the sand in?
You see, they got boards built up. Like this is the, now that's the fireplace there. Well, it come out here for the hearth.
Yes.
They got boards built around from the chimney out here all around. All around the hearth to go straight down to the ground.
Yes.
Now some slopes them in that way. Let these boards go to right to the chimney from this way, slant down to the ground. And so we have fixed them that way too. And,
well, now,
but Bessie's, hers just go right straight down to the ground. Yeah. This way, you see, boarded all around, and them boards is not so close together in some places.
Oh,
sand seep through.
I see. So you just got to take them bricks out up there, the hearth.
That's right.
Just fill it up again.
Fill it up again. That's right.
Well, sir.
Yeah.
And when she working up there with the fire, that makes the sand come out, don't it?
That's right. That's right. Any join, I know that'll help to get it on out there.
Do you do any plumbing?
No, sir. No, sir. I would like to plumb. Do any plumbing.
Yeah. Well, now look, you know, Bessie has got she's a fine cook.
Yes.
She don't even have running water in her kitchen.
Well, she don't have no, she's never had it in there. She never had the running water in her kitchen, eh?
Yeah.
She have never had it? I don't think she has.
I don't think she has.
No.
Well, why wouldn't she put it in there?
Well, I imagine the property don't belong to her.
Well, it don't matter if she's going to use the sink. It don't cost much, does it?
It don't cost much.
No.
I imagine it does. Imagine it costs right smart to getting that. You'd have to have that sink and all that, the plumbing works, and that's That's pretty high. It costs pretty much a plumber to put it in there.
Yeah. Well, now she could have put that in a long time ago when it didn't cost so much, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
She has a faucet on the porch, I guess. Yes.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, Uncle Gil's got to go. You think of something else we ought to get him to talk to us about for the last thing? Tell us something. What, Uncle Gil, tell us something. Tell us something else now before you go, because you got to go.
You do so many things, Uncle Gil.
Oh, yeah.
You do so many things, and I hear about you doing so many things around here, like growing things and carpentry.
That's right.
And you got all this fine family, you know.
Oh, yes.
How'd you get such fine family, Uncle Gil? Did you whoop them every morning?
Yeah, how'd you bring them up?
I always, when I tell them something, they know I meant it. I tell them so they know I meant it.
Yeah.
And I didn't just tell them and I didn't tell them please neither.
Yeah.
Did they learn to work?
Oh yeah, they couldn't have stayed around me if they didn't.
You had something for them to do.
Oh, that's right. That is right, you know, and that is the best too. In raising up children, I noticed the difference in Lloyd Johnson and Zebby. Zebby's wife died, which was my daughter. And, she was my daughter. And we told Zebby, said, Zebby, you look around and get you a good wife to stay there with them children, be there to help you raise them children up. No, he wasn't going to get no woman putting that over his job.
Is that right?
No, he going to let them children get grown and get out of there the children and his wife maybe couldn't get along good, you know, and he wasn't going to have that trouble with the children and his wife. He's going to let them children get grown. So, you see about what sort of children he raised. Good for nothing.
I don't know. I didn't even know he had children. Now, I know Lloyd's children.
No Lloyd's children?
Yes, I know them.
Well, you know, the one staying in the trailer, that's his daughter. Staying in the little trailer up there.
Is that one of Lloyd's children?
No.
That's Zebby's.
Oh, Zebby's.
Zebby's daughter.
Yeah.
You don't know Darcy? That one granddaughter?
No.
Darcy?
I don't know any of Zebby's family.
You know?
No.
Well, he's got one fine girl. She lives in Tampa, Eloise.
Yeah.
We, after my daughter died, we hope her to get through school, college.
Oh.
And so she's among the best. I say she's among the best. She's got somewhere to go now. I think she's the only colored teacher that is going. The rest is white.
Yeah.
That is from Tampa. She's a trip somewhere, but she's recognized among the up class.
Yeah. But then you all helped them too.
That's right. Yeah, we helped them.
Yeah. Well, now, how'd Lloyd get along with his children?
Well, he learned them to work.
Yes.
When they go to school, they come in. He have something for them to do.
Besides bounce the ball.
That's right, and he schemed around somehow or another and kept them in school.
Yeah.
I don't know, sometimes, I don't know if he ever had to borrow much money to do it. Maybe he did. I know what kind? We had a little society, and I think they're running that little society day yet. What was it? Anyhow, I know he asked about, we had a little money in the trade, and he asked them about borrowing some, I think that was to sort of help out in his children in the school. And they were sort of kind of kicking on it, on something. And I told them that, I'd be responsible for it. Let him have it.
Yeah.
I'd be responsible for it.
Now, since I've been down here, Lloyd hadn't made much. He had, you know, he passed his prime.
Certainly.
And he still had them boys off in school.
That's right. Yes, he worked long somehow or another, because he didn't have any money.
No.
He didn't have any money, but he worked long somehow or another and kept them in school. And of course, when the first two girls, one went on to college, one took up the nurses. The oldest girl, she's a nurse. So, and I guess you know where she work at, the nurse. You know where she work at.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they could, maybe they kind of hoping then after they got where they could get in some, make some money, they would help you see this.
I imagine so.
I don't know it for certain, but I think so.
Gil, you know, it's hard to believe, but it looks like it's so many times these days it works that way. The children start to work, and they make more than their daddy ever made in his life. How about that?
That's right.
Ain't it?
That's right.
Now look at Lloyd. He never made anything at all like his daughter made.
No, that's right.
Nursing and teaching school and all those things.
That's right. No.
Yes, sir.
No, sir. He wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
He wasn't prepared. He couldn't make it.
Now you never made as much money as your boys make.
That's right.
Did you?
No, I sure didn't. even when I was working right along with them, let me see. They'd wait for, when they were getting $2 an hour. I believe that's about how they got when I was with them. I was working along with them. I wait for $1.25. I could have got $1. I did do some dollar and a half, but most ordinarily, all the work I did, I didn't get much of about $1.25.
Now, what was that when you all? What was that when you all was working long together there?
That comedy.
Comedy.
That's right.
Doing the same thing.
Same thing. Oh yes.
Gil, we enjoyed your visit.
We sure did. I'm glad I got here in time to visit a little bit.
Yeah. You got plenty of sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes?
Yeah.
No, sir. I don't have anything to do. You grew potatoes?
I've got some in here. They get me a sack.
All
right. You get a sack there and put some in. I just got some the other day.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, if I keep them around here, you know, like the children, when they come home from school?
Yes, sir.
And I can't resist them. I see that sweet potato there.
That's right. I came in, you made me think about it yesterday evening I came in. I believe I was, what was I was working all day yesterday, I believe. Yes, and I come in and Edith, that Monroe's wife, she had two potatoes there. And one of them, it might have been nearby that large. That was the largest one. And I asked me, I said, can I eat this potato? I thought he had cooked it, you know. I said, what are we going to do with me to eat this potato?
Oh, they do taste good, don't they?
Yes, I had done got a piece of the little one. She had done broke the little one in two.
I thought maybe I wouldn't write until I talked to Dr. Anderson. But she coughs just a little bit. But one night when it was so windy, I had her up. That first real bad night. And it was so cold and windy, I had her up. But I thought, well, I don't have enough hay and wrapping in there. So I got up at 2:30 and went out there and practically sat up the rest of the night with that horse. Well, you know, I was just so worried. It was just so awful to have her coughing in that wind. Yes, I had a blanket for her, and I put a lot of hay in there. She got fine, but she's so much better. Yeah, that I feel real encouraged, because as I say, I know I can't get out and really work. Yeah. Well, this is what Dr. Anderson was hoping. It was, you know, was Mrs. problem. Yeah. Well, this is what we're hoping. Oh, I know it. Yeah. Well, how's Devante? Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Well, good. Yeah. Well, that's just great. Oh, I want to see her, and thank you for calling.
That's the end of Channel 2 Wright and Uncle Gil. The end of Channel 2 Wright and Uncle Gil's visit. The end of Channel 2 Wright and Uncle Gil's visit this Saturday, the 28th of November, 1970. This Saturday, the 28th of November, 1970. The end of Uncle Gil's visit and the end of Channel 2 Wright. This Saturday, the 28th of November, 1970. The end of Channel 2 Wright. And Uncle Gil's visit this Saturday, 28th of November, 1970. The end of Uncle Gil's visit.